Today, as we continue our Exodus series, the Israelites are stuck between an angry Egyptian army who are trying to enslave them again, and a sea, this giant sea that they can't get around. It's too big for them to get around. They are, in other words, they are trapped, absolutely trapped in this horrible and impossible situation. If you don't know the story, there's a man named Moses who has been hand-selected by God to help set the people of Israel free from 430 years of Egyptian slavery. They've now walked out of Egypt as a result of the hand of God, but Egypt has become angry and now wants to bring them back into slavery, and so that's what's happening. And the people of Israel are now stuck on the seashore, not able to get across, not able to get around, and Egypt is coming. They're just a little bit off. And that brings us to Exodus chapter 14, verse 16. It says this, and follow along carefully. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Probably the hand raised over the sea would be the one with the staff in it. That would make sense. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. There's a lot going on in this one little verse here. But the first thing is to pick up your staff. Tell your neighbor, pick up your staff. Just me and you as neighbors today. Just pick up your staff. Pick up your staff. So now this staff, what is a staff? The staff is something that Moses has used for decades of his life. But this staff, as we talked about several weeks ago, was representative of his career. And this is a staff that God asked him to give to him. And so the staff has now been surrendered to God. It previously represented his livelihood, his career, his financial security, his comfort, all of these things Moses, at this point in the story, has already surrendered over to God. So the staff was a reminder to Moses of who he was and of who God was recreating him to be. And so this one staff has this great a place of reminder for Moses. This is the same staff that has been used through the series of history-defining miracles called the plagues, where God used Moses with this staff to unleash all of these plagues upon Egypt. So it's a very important staff. The staff allowed Moses to recognize that God was still at work in his life. God was recreating him, rebuilding him, reforming him, making him who he wants him to be. And deep into Scripture, there is this fantastic and exceptionally important declaration that is made. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 13, it says this declaration, "You made," talking to God, "you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, that's an interesting idea right there, because the clear lesson there is that God made you, that God put you together, that God was at work in your life before you were born. While you were just being formed together, God had a role in who you are. Now, a few quick things about this. In verse 14, it goes on, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Now, some of you are more complex than others, I know. But your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So a few quick things. First off, God knit you together. God. It's very important that you understand that. God put you together. God made you. If you feel broken today, if you feel like you don't fully grasp that or understand that, if you feel like there's some need for you to be recreated, I would challenge you on that and say, you should not be doing the recreating. If you feel broken, let God do the recreating. God put you together to begin with. God knows what to do with you. Now, from the moment you were born, Egypt or the world or Satan has, from the moment you were born, he has been trying to break you, to crush you, trying to get you to question the truth, trying to get you to reconsider even your own identity. The brokenness that has been brought down upon your life for most people is absolutely horrendous and ridiculous. But there's something that takes place in our life when we choose to do what Moses did, when we pick up the staff. You see, God told Moses, pick up the staff. And I believe God tells us to pick up the staff, because the staff represents the Spirit of God. The staff represents the Holy Spirit. And God does this amazing thing with us when we pick up the staff. God takes the broken mess that our life has become, and He goes back to the broken areas, to the broken parts, and He starts over, and He knits us back together. Just think about that. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and now He will re-knit you together if necessary. You know, I have a knitter up here on the stage today. If I could just see this, she's been working on this for a long time. Just look at how long she's been working on this. That's hours and hours, maybe days of work that she's been doing. And what happens is, you know, God knit you together in your mother's womb. You're born, and Satan just starts to tear you apart. He just starts to do a horrible and awful things to you. You made it hard for me to do this time, okay? And okay, right. So this thing, and okay. See, so there we go. So there we see. See, I'm Satan right now. Do you understand what I'm doing here? Okay, so I'm just being. She's very angry with me because I didn't do it this bad last service. Okay, so here we go. All kinds of chaos and mess. Good luck with that. Those of you that are knitters just became very angry with me. Here's what happens. Satan does that to you in your life. He takes what God put together and he starts to rip it apart. But God, when you pick up the staff, God starts to put you back together. He starts to re-knit you together. But first, He has to undo the mess that Satan created in your life. And so, like, for the next 15 minutes, Angela's going to be finding the messes and fixing all of the messes. And so in your life, when God is doing that, it's going to hurt. That's not a pleasant process. That's not a simple process. That is a painful process. And the pain is going to be real. Tell your neighbor, the pain is going to be real. The pain is going to be real. If you want wholeness, it will require some pain. But the pain is worth the final product. It is. And I know that you can handle the pain. Like, many of you are pain experts. Pain is not that big of a deal. I mean, for real, there are more tattoos in this building than at most biker bars. Okay? And those tattoos, they don't come pain-free. Sometimes I come to church and I'm like, I feel out of the place. I don't got any tattoos. But you can handle the pain because of this. Not because you're just awesome, not because you're so tough. You can handle the pain because you won't be going through it alone. You don't go through the pain alone. By having Moses pick up the staff, God is continuing to drive home this one most important faith lesson that we must all learn. You can't do this on your own. If you try to do this life that God has for you on your own, you will have missed the entire point. Because you desperately and I desperately need the one who powers the staff. You see, the staff is representative for Moses. It's like God saying to Moses, hey, Moses, you're a big shot now. You got a legit reputation. You stood up to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh blinked. But without the staff, Moses, you're just a guy hanging out at the beach. Reality is that Moses still needs the one who powers the staff, and so do we. You need the Spirit of God to direct you. You need the Spirit of God to lead you. You need the Spirit of God to go before you and to fight for you. What does that mean? That means pick up your staff. And that goes for all of us. We can't do this on our own. Pick up the staff, pick up the Holy Spirit, pick up the Word of God. You can't do it on your own. And the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to do it on your own because the staff means that you are not alone. The one who powers the staff is on your side. And the Spirit of God is for you and He is not against you. Notice so far in the story, the cloud, there was this pillar of cloud in the daytime that would go before the people and they would follow wherever the cloud went. And that's how they knew where to go. And then God sent a pillar of fire at night and they would know where they were supposed to be and where they were supposed to go. So they knew that God was with them. But the staff is different. The staff is a reminder to Moses, very specifically, Moses, you are not alone. As a person, as an individual, Moses, you are not alone. I'm not just talking about the people of Israel, I'm talking about Moses himself. You see, Moses was born a slave. He was rescued out of a river, adopted into a royal family as a child. He never once was abandoned by God. Moses has still managed to go through some of the most difficult things that a person can go through, but God has been tracking with Moses all of his life, and there has not been one second of Moses' life where God has not been faithful. God has been faithful to Moses from the beginning. And I would say this, God has been faithful to us as well. We may not have always understood it. We may not have always felt it or seen it. But God has been faithful to us the entire time. Now remember, Moses is the man who just years before this, a few years before this, ran away in fear and hid in the desert for 40 years. The same man who chickened out about not being a good communicator. He was nervous to talk to Pharaoh. A lot of time has passed since this moment, but Moses is still that same human man. He has fears, he has scars, he has a past, he has insecurities. And the staff that Moses is picking up is a reminder to him that Moses, you are not alone. The fight that you are in, whatever is going on in your life today, the fight that you are in might feel like it's you versus the world. But in reality, when you pick up the staff, it's you and God versus the world. And in the world, 1 + 1 = 2, but with God, it's 1 + God = victory. And whatever your battle is today, whatever your sea is in front of you, whatever your enemies are that are chasing you down, whatever the pressure is, does anybody have any of those in your life? Those are real everyday challenges. And that's the moment, that is exactly the moment that you desperately need to turn to God. Why? Because you can't do it on your own. And when you turn to God, you're not alone. He is with you. Listen to this command that Moses gave to his people 40 years after this. 40 years after this moment, just before Moses dies, these are some of Moses' last words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. He's telling this to the whole nation of Israel. Right after he's done telling it to the whole nation of Israel, Moses spins around and he looks at Joshua. Joshua is the new leader of Israel. And he gives a nearly identical word. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you and will neither fail you nor abandon you. Again, very, very similar words. But Moses is driving home the point with Joshua because he's learned it himself. That God will personally, somebody say personally, God will personally go ahead of you. Personally. It's like God says, hey, I'm not sending my assistant, I'm going myself. I'm not just going to send a couple angels. I personally will show up and intervene in your life. For you as a person, not just the church, not just your family, but for you. You individually. God is interested in you. He's interested in your story. He's interested in your circumstances. He's interested in your family. He's interested in what job you have. He's interested in what school you will go to next year. He's interested in personally going ahead of you. That's the promise here. In Isaiah, God said, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And then pay attention to this little nugget in Deuteronomy 5. "Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy." Stay on the path. Stay on the path. And God will take care of the rest. Stay on the path. God will take care of the rest. So God says, pick up the staff. And then he says to Moses, "And raise your hand over the sea." Takes the staff in his hand. He raises it over the sea. Now, this is a public moment. I don't want you to miss this. Sometimes there are these moments in your life when you've got to take care of business while everybody is watching. The reality is, I prefer to do these things alone. I prefer to do this kind of Jesus work, like in privacy, or go out into the woods, or find a quiet space and take care of this. But quite often, you need to go public with it. You need to take care of business in front of other people. I mean, the reality is, a lot of times the trouble we got into, we did in public. And now we're going to get it undone in public. And God is going to do a work. And the reality is that oftentimes you need to go to your sea, you need to go to your obstacle, you need to go to your challenge, and you need to look your fears right in the face. And you've got to be honest about your obstacles. You've got to call them out by name for what they are, and perhaps even what they've done. And in that moment, when you have the staff and you're raising it over the sea in your life, you say, "Move in Jesus' name. Get out of my way." Not because of you, but because of Jesus. There is no honor, none, no honor in pretending like you have no obstacles or no challenges or no battles, or that you're not broken, or that you've never been messed up. The reality is, we simply need to go to those things, call them out, and tell them to move in Jesus' name. Now, imagine Moses for a moment. He's leading 2 million plus people. They're on the edge of the sea. They're camped out. The army is coming. They can't go anywhere. They're in real trouble. As a result, the people are afraid. And when people are afraid, human nature kicks in. And people do stupid things when they are afraid. And they say horrible things when they are afraid. So Moses, he grabs his staff, which, by the way, is now legendary. The staff is important. He walks out of his tent, and the people are watching him as he walks out. And Moses is walking towards the most impossible situation that he has ever faced. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And I don't know if you can relate to that, where you have an impossible situation in front of you, and you feel like you just have lots and lots of voices around you telling you horrible things. It's like you feel like you have thousands of little devil birds floating around your head, whispering in your ear. You are done. You are dead. You are finished. You're a failure. You're ridiculous. There's not even a point in trying. And all of the while that this is going on, you are trying to stare down the most difficult challenge of your life. That's exactly what's going on with Moses right now. He's not the most popular leader ever at this moment. Now, I don't know how he walked out to sea. I don't know if he walked out of his tent and he stumbled underneath the pressure and weight of the moment. I don't know if he limped out, or I don't know if he had an entourage around him that walked out. We're like, hey, Moses, you got this. Let's go. Let's do this. I doubt it. I don't know if he marched out like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Or what I think probably happened was that he marched out alone. He marched out with his staff to face down a sea. He looks at the sea. And this is a moment that I just wish I could have been there just for the moment, because I would not wanted to have been a slave. But I would have loved to have seen this moment. And it says in verse 21 that Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. This is a fantastic moment in history. And it's also a lesson for how you and I resist, how we resist the obstacles and challenges in our life. First, you grab the staff, the power of the Holy Spirit. You face your obstacle and you raise your hand. And years later, the brother of Jesus picks up on the same theme when he says, humble yourselves before God. That's relying on the power of the Spirit. Resist the devil. It's raising your hand over your sea. And he will flee from you. That's God rushing in and doing what he's going to do. You acknowledge your total reliance upon God, that you are powerless to win on your own because you weren't built to do this on your own. And that God will fight for you, and that God alone will win against your enemies. You don't have to worry about if you're going to win against your enemies, because God will win against your enemies. So you pick up your staff and you raise your hand over the sea. And there's a third and extremely important part of this. You walk through the sea. You walk through the sea. Verse 16, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. God tells Moses to divide the water. And in verse 22, the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Somebody say dry ground. With walls of water on each side. Just imagine yourself in that moment. What would you do? I think I would touch the water. You know, like, see what's in there. Sideways fishing. I don't know how that works. But walk through the sea. It's very important. Walk through the sea. What is happening here? God has disarmed nature. He has taken over nature. And he has his people step on the dry ground. Now, I don't think you understand today, though. The place where they are stepping is exactly the place that just a few hours before was supposed to be the cause of their destruction. And the place that was supposed to be the cause of their destruction just moments before is now the place of their deliverance. The very thing that stood in the way of their freedom will now be required to deliver them. I want to proclaim that for each and every one of you today. Whether you're in Lynn or Revere, whether you're listening on podcast or watching it online, the very challenge that stood in your way of your freedom will now be forced to play a role in your deliverance. What Satan thought would most certainly be your destruction, God will now use to elevate you if you will let him. So walk through the sea, because God's going to use it. God is going to use it for your deliverance. But when you're walking through the sea, don't make this mistake. Don't stop in the sea. You don't belong in the sea. Enjoy it while it lasts, but keep on moving. Seriously, you probably want to do a little dancing while you're walking through the sea, or stomping, or a little shouting, because it would be pretty awesome. But make sure you do it all forward. Dance forward. Walk forward, shout forward, jump forward, keep on moving. Why? Because this isn't all there is for you. Being delivered isn't the best thing that will ever happen to you. It's just part of it. It's in many senses the beginning, not the end. My point here is this: don't settle in life for half a miracle. There's lots of miracles ahead for Israel. This is not the only one. Don't settle for half a miracle. Don't settle for half a deliverance. Don't settle for half a life. For some of you, the challenge in front of you has seemed so big for so long in your life, you get through that challenge and you're like, "Woo, I'm done." No, friends, you got a lot of years in front of you. You keep on going. Don't get stuck in the middle of the sea. And get on through to the other side as the worship team comes back up. Why? Because God is going to use the sea that was trying to destroy you. He is going to use the sea to bring your deliverance. That means there is deliverance in front of you. There is deliverance in your sea. How is this possible in your life? How is it possible in everyday life that God is able to do this? One of the reasons is this. Satan has a habit of overstepping. Satan always goes too far. You see, the scripture tells us there is pleasure in sin for a season. There comes a moment when it starts to destroy your life. There comes a moment when it starts to wreck you, wreck those around you. That's Satan going too far. Proverbs 14 says, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but its end is death." Again, it's just Satan going too far. What happens is you find yourself at the bottom. You hit your lowest low. You're in the gutter. And as the Bible says, you come to your senses. You start to ask questions like, "What am I doing here? Is this all that there is in life? Is it possible that there is more? There must be more. Is there a God? Does he know what's going on? God, would you help me?" See, the enemy always oversteps. And when he does so, it gives us the opportunity to listen to the voice of God. And it gives us the chance to pick up the staff, hold our hand over the sea, the challenges, the problems in our life, and tell them to move in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me as we close? Next week, we're going to cover and see exactly how this plays out as the sea destroys the army of Egypt. Just three quick things today. For some of you today, your response needs to be to pick up your staff. Just become reliant on the Spirit of God. Recognize that you're not alone in this. God is with you. For others of you, you have an obstacle in front of you that seems more impossible than anything you've ever faced in your life. You have an enemy coming behind you. There's no way out. Not really. For those of you today that are in that moment, this is the moment where you raise your hand to your problem. You raise the hand to your sea. Say, "In the name of Jesus, move. Move." And as God rushes in, makes a path in the sea for you. Walk through the sea, because your deliverance is at hand. The worship team will close us with this song. But for you today, you have a response. You get to decide how you're going to respond. Maybe you need to become more reliant on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to be willing to call something out for what it is. Declare deliverance. Wherever you're at, let's take some time today. Let's own this. Make it our own. The altars are open. You may want to take some time just to seal this. Let's pray together.